But open up the Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 9 to 14. Acts 8, 9 to 14. I begin to read. There was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all give heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believe Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, and the same of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon himself believed also. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. We'll stop here. Right away, you and me would have welcomed Simon into the membership. He believed, he was baptized, oh, he saved. We would have welcomed him in our church, and we have welcomed many of that sort in our church. But the church was not like how it is now. The apostles at Jerusalem heard what happened, and they sent two apostles, send them to see if this was for real. When they came, all hell broken loose. Simon was not a saved man. Simon was putting on a show. As a matter of fact, Simon was practicing sorcery. And you know the rest of the story. But our subject today continues, Disciples of Jesus Christ, message number 5. Now, I did not know that I would have gone so far with the series, but I would go with them as far as I can. But this is a very important lesson. Verses 9 and 10 tell us, "But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he was himself was somebody great, to whom they all give heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the great power of God.'" Now, looking at this subject, Disciples of Jesus Christ, I've come to a regrettable one. Counterfeit disciples. We're using Simon the sorcerer as our example of a counterfeit. Well, as I said, this is our fifth study on this subject. We already saw earlier conflict with disciples. We saw contrasting disciples. I think last time we looked at a complementary disciple. And when I talk about complementary, I'm not saying that, I'm not using the word that we should complement one another. Mabel, you look good today. I like how you dress. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about complementary, one who stand with the other in their doctrine, and I show you, in the work of God and in other things such. As such, that's what it means to be complementary. Officers in the church should be complementary to their elders, not contradictory. And that's how I use the word, and it is like that in many circles, where instead of men being complementary, they are contradictory. And I trust that we would not be like this. We fight all the time about this matter, and how we do things and how we say things. But here we want to look at this counterfeit. Whenever and wherever the gospel is proclaimed, the gospel of Christ, there will be true disciples. No one knows the heart of anyone. The Lord Jesus tells us, by their fruit you shall know them. Simon was not easily recognized. And that is why we say he was counterfeit. Like sometimes money gets away. Before long, it is counterfeit. But in Zimbabwe, these people will get me very sick, because now they don't take $50 or $100 notes that are, I can't even remember. One time I went to fill up the vehicle with gas and I gave the man $100. No, we don't take that. I said, well, what happened to it? We want the ones with the line. I said, I ain't even know you got a line. They know the money better than us. And they know the counterfeit money better than me and you. And I had to tell Colin, don't give me the more of those. Give me the one with the line. And so you got to be very careful in passing $50s, $100 notes. They push them back to you. They say the bank refused them because they have a problem with counterfeit. And what I'm saying is, it counterfeit is not easily recognized. It's just like counterfeit disciples. They're not easily recognized. Today, only a true disciple will recognize falsehood. That's why the people at Fort Knox are not trained to learn counterfeit money. They're trained to know the real money, and they know what to look for. And likewise, a true disciple will easily recognize falsehood. If a person doesn't know the scriptures, they cannot recognize a counterfeit. They will be easily misled, and that's why it is dangerous for you to stand upon the corner witnessing to a Jehovah's Witness. They'll trip you up, or even a charismatic person, if you don't know the reason behind these cults. As a matter of fact, a certain cult every now and again would come and stand up in front of the church door with their pamphlets. And when they come to open up, I says, no, go down by your liquor store and pass out your literature. This is a church, and it's a Christian church. Go down at the corner. Now, I don't know if you know this. You don't see them there. You see them down there. And if you come here in the morning, Brother Curtis, Brother Colin, you need to do that. He says, look, I would prefer that you carry your literature somewhere else. Don't bring your poison in front of our church. But I just issue that warning, and as I talk more candidly with you today. But first of all, Simon was self-acclaimed. Scriptures say in verse 9, and I quote from the New King James, but there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. The text says Simon claimed that he was someone great. And Galatians 6 warns us, for if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. So Simon was deceiving himself, claiming to be what he was not. It was the first step, or it is the first step, to spiritual ruin. To claim that you are something that you are not. To claim that you are a believer and it's not. It's the first step to spiritual ruin. Fundamental principle in a Christian life, Proverbs 27:2. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth. A stranger, and not thine own lips. Simon was a self-acclaimed disciple. But Simon had a large following. Notice the text that we are looking in verses 10 and 11. To whom they all give heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is a great power of God, and to him they had regard, because that of a long time he bewitched them with sorceries. I will hasten to add, it seems as though the false gospel thrive more than the true gospel. They have a large following. The Roman Catholic Church is probably the biggest, most well-attended church in history. That's how it is. Always amazing how religious movements can attract thousands, and those who seek to maintain loyalty or faithfulness struggle to keep their heads above water. I encourage you to read Psalm 73. I'm not going to turn to it, but you should know it. Psalm 73. David had a problem. Not David, Asaph. Why does the ungodly flourish and the godly struggle? But this is the danger of false disciples. They can attract large followings. Men are more prone to follow error than to follow truth. And this is true with the unconverted people. The Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees and the scribes, "I am come in my Father's name, and you did not receive me. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive." That's what the Lord himself said in John 5, verse 43. Text says that Simon had bewitched his followers with sorceries. Well, this is a warning here to some of us about sorcery. We call sorcery by different names. It's like witchcraft. Well, if you're from Barbados, Obia. If you're from other places, voodoo. Someone inquire about this. They're all cut of the same cloth. They're out of the occult activity. And God condemned this practice in the Bible. Let me read from Deuteronomy quickly. Deuteronomy 18, God was talking about a true prophet from a false prophet. I think it's that passage where he said, God will raise up a prophet, Jesus, like me. But we read in Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 15, "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee." This is why God drove out the Canaanites, because they practice witchcraft. Today, some people have a fond interest in witchcraft, and they really believe that oil that somebody put on the pulpit or wherever, it has an effect on them. I would just dust off the oil and go. And some of you are like that. I know what goes on in some cultures. Zimbabwe is a place that is rampant with witchcraft. Terrible witchcraft, like going to houses and see people doing their stuff, setting up their stuff. Brother Mabundu, when he became converted, he brought all of his witchcraft paraphernalia. And Soko was there at that time and burned everything in front of the church. And he was saying, I have parted ways. Brother Mabundu today struggles to come to church. I remember one time he came, he's so appreciative of the gospel. He doesn't have anything. He's the one that the snake was in his bed. He had his blanket outside, and he fold up his blanket and bring it in, put it on his bed. And when he opened up his blanket, lo and behold, a python. Mabundu had the strength to kill it. You and I would have been swallowed up by a python. But Mabundu, one time he brought this bag, this bag of potatoes and nuts, and then give it to Marcel. That was his way of showing appreciation for the gospel. Had nothing else. A little bag of sweet potatoes and peanuts. Sometimes when people give you these things, you just, El Miro, you cherish them because he's saying, I really appreciate you for bringing the gospel to me, that my eyes have become witchcraft. A terrible thing. Others practice voodoo. See people here mumbling and jumbling words and going along. Others you see screaming to the top of their voices. And I say to you, stay away from that and those who practice that. Okay? It will destroy you quickly. Galatians 5, 19 and 20, Paul groups this behavior with the works of the flesh, saying, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies. Works that are practiced by the unsaved flesh. But Simon lost his following. You're looking at Simon. He had a large following. Lost his following through some gospel preaching by Philip the evangelist, who we saw already in one of our studies. Verse 12. But when they, this is the people that Philip had bewitched, believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, obviously, these ones that were baptized, that believed the gospel of Christ, were believers. But this is one and the only remedy we have for false gospels: the true gospel, the preaching of the gospel. You don't have to argue. The preaching of the gospel. So we have seen Simon, that Simon was self-acclaimed disciples. The next thing we see of Simon is Simon made a profession of faith. Verse 13. And Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, as I said, you and I would have gone running with this. Even in your church here, you would be writing a letter saying another one or some more believe. We have three more, we have four more. Six more that were baptized. You know these letters that I get. I got one in there right now from P.D. Cherion. I wouldn't normally read a letter like that to the church because I don't agree with their method. But you get them all the time. I wouldn't take any comfort in that. But we must not read too much in these words. Simon himself believed also. Don't read too much in these words, neither should we read too much in the words, he was baptized. Don't read too much in this. What we should pay attention to is the phrase, and he wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. That's the clincher. Simon's attention was drawn the wrong place. He was drawn to signs and wonders like the charismatic movement. He never had dealings personally with the Lord Jesus. He never came broken before God in repentance. He wasn't sorry for his witchcraft. He was looking at the signs. Maybe some of you are like that. Never had dealings with Jesus. Never came broken to him. We're looking at someone else. Some men come into church with their eyes on the young women. They even join, they even get baptized until they get their catch. And it has happened many, many times in our church with counterfeit Christians. Take away our women, gone, never to be seen again. I used to warn Dion about that a lot. And if you got a daughter and you care, you better warn her. I don't know who's going to come in here, but you might meet them on the job. Oh, you're a Christian? I'm a Christian too. This is what we have in our culture today among many who say, they are evangelized. They have a foreign attraction to outward manifestations. Name it, claim it. I've met several men who were self-acclaimed pastors and evangelists. I've even sat and interviewed some of them. The last man we met was in Sam Levy's prestigious shopping mall in Harare just a year ago. When I put my cards on the table, because I have zero tolerance for these guys, I try to be polite, try to be nice. But when we put our call, I think Colin was with me, and it was good for him to see how I dealt with this man. When I put our beliefs on the table, he said to me, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Don't rest your confidence in that. I says, "Yeah, that's not enough. How do you view the Bible?" I hit him. "Do you believe in extra biblical revelation? Do you believe God is still speaking today?" "Yeah." "He's dead." "Done." Never saw him again, Preston. He was gone. The first thing that troubled me about him, though, he had two front teeth missing. "Why are you going to pastor a church with two front teeth missing?" I'm not saying that they say, "Well, you come to meet the pastor for interview and got two or three front teeth missing." Remember the guy that showed up at Menbury with his white jacket, Brother Curtis, with his wife? He communicated with me online before I left, and then he showed up at one of the conferences. He come decked out, Brother Colin, with this white jacket. And Brother Raymond said to me, "Pastor, you see this guy? Two of the buttons missing from his jacket." First impression, "Are you a preacher? You come here with two buttons off of your jacket. Where did I get from you?" The next day he was gone. Apparently he beat up his wife because his wife, this happening at the conference, you know. His wife apparently was more, I think Marcel passed out some hats or caps or something. Oh, that's another subject. And she had on and he took it off. You don't take these things from these people. You don't know these people. He was coming for the wrong reason. We've met our share of these counterfeit disciples. They make a profession of faith. First thing this friend said to me was, "I believe Jesus is the Son of God." I said to him, "Everyone say this. They're trained to say this. This is not the test of a true disciple." Verse 14, "Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John." Why are they doing this? And that's a church, a bona fide church, when they hear about conversions in church plant activity. It was a wise thing to do. The church did not send one, but they sent two, Peter and John, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Every word is established. I mean, sometimes you may send two, and the two that you send in are a lick about the gospel. And you got to be careful who you send, or they will go down there and compromise. Verse 6 saying, "Who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was not fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Now this verse 15 and 16 needs clarification. Why was it necessary for the apostles to authenticate the validity of the witness of the Samaritans? Because God vested his authority in the apostles. Samaritans had a history of false worship. And you know this going back all the way to the book of Kings. Peter and John's coming will serve as a test of true disciples. God sent them there and they obediently went. In verse 7, he says, "Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost." Now, I have to clarify some things here. When the Bible says that the Holy Spirit had not yet fallen on them, it is saying they were not yet saved. If they don't have the Holy Spirit, obviously they ain't saved. They believe outwardly, but God now sends his official apostles, the ones that come now would verify this. They were not saved. It was something like Apollos, who, and I explained this several times, who received the baptism of John, but and that's why the couple had to take him now and explain the gospel to him carefully, and then he was saved. But so to receive the Holy Spirit is the equivalent of salvation. Repent and believe, and you should receive the Holy Spirit. So whatever you have been taught before, you need to forget it. The receiving of the Holy Spirit is the equivalent of salvation. If any man does not have the Holy Spirit, he does not belong to Christ. The Holy Spirit is the promised seal until the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Now you're hearing doctrine this morning. If you have any other thing in your head, doctrine ought to clarify it, especially with those of you who have Pentecostal background. The receiving of the Holy Spirit is the equivalent to salvation, not the speaking of tongues. The speaking of tongues was permissible before the Bible was completed, and it was also a verification that God now is at work in their hearts, but that has finished. So these are very important doctrines. And you know, some people might hear me say this and they still go on and end up in a charismatic church anyway. And they do this because they were never saved. And our sister there belongs to the Pentecostal church. Angela, and I hope you're listening to me carefully and you can get the whatever and listen to it, because what I'm saying is biblical, okay? By the way, Pastor Eugene Panero was once a Pentecostal. He became saved, and he's now in Jersey with the bookstore. Let's conclude. So Peter and John was a test. And I said, the receiving of the Holy Ghost is the equivalent to salvation. Say it four times. This does not happen today. It doesn't happen today. The moment a person becomes saved, they are anointed with the Holy Spirit. Simon's heart was exposed, 18 and 19. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he might receive the Holy Ghost. So, we see two things. Simon's self-acclaim. Simon made a profession. Simon sought to merchandise the gospel. Last point. Watch out for those buying and selling the gospel. There was a man in the book of Kings who two-time Elisha worked with him for many years with the prophet, and he just saw opening, and you know what he did. Elisha looked at him firmly and says, may the leprosy of Naaman come for you. Men of God better be firm, not only in preaching the gospel, but in rebuking counterfeit Christians. They got a lot of weak, flimsy men preaching. They have to be just as quick. Like Elijah, it happened in the Old Testament. It happened here with Peter. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And do not marvel, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is not a great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. This guy that died a couple of years ago in Nigeria, I don't remember his name. I know Marion was very fond of him. She got his photo stick up in her living room. Somehow he was not an old man, he passed away, and then everything began to unravel. The BBC ran a story on him, how he impregnated many, many young women. And this is par for the course with counterfeit disciples. They have no self-control, especially with morality. And this is how they often become exposed. The test of true disciples is not what they say. It's not even what they do. The test is what do they really believe about the Word of God and the Son of God. Verse 21, 20 and 21, Peter said unto him, "Your money perish with you, because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." The gift of God is salvation. The Holy Spirit, that's the gift of God, Romans 6, 23. "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." This was the matter, the crux of the matter. Simon's heart, here you have it, was not right with God. Whether Simon had a change of heart is another matter. The scripture is silent. But what we know is that counterfeit disciples are found everywhere. They're in the church. The wheat and the tares are together. Counterfeit Christians would not endure faithful preaching. There's only one solution, and Peter tells us in verse 22, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps," it's no guarantee, "perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." Peter then says, "Accept the Lord Jesus right now. Perhaps God may forgive you." We must be very careful in foreign missions, lest we be deceived by counterfeit disciples. But we are to be equally careful at home, lest we accept disciples in our membership that are counterfeit. We have to be careful. I usually ask one of the deacons to do an interview, and even that you can't be certain about. But 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 3, 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2. "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Pray for us, brethren. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.